go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You know me by now, Ben Bolin, video writer, one half of Car Stuff, and may I introduce you to our own?
Scott Benjamin.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to go with a full intro or not, but yeah, that's me. I'm just the auto editor here.
Yeah.
So how's that?
That was awesome. Yeah, I did kind of leave you hanging on
that's
that
all right. No problem. Yeah. You know what? We got a topic here that you got all excited about this one, Ben.
Right. Yes.
And I did too after I read about it. I think this is a good one.
This is something that we've been doing for a little while recently, and we've got some pretty good response to our history of or story of type episodes. We covered, you know, Henry Ford, Colin Chapman. We've covered the Harley Davidson company. And we've covered Toyota. We're going to today take a look at a man named Ollie Evinrude.
Yes. And you know why I kind of made that, odd noise there when you mentioned Harley Davidson? I think you do.
Why don't you let him in?
Well, if you remember, as we're doing the Harley Davidson, history of peace, we talked about, someone that they kind of brought in on the mix, there early on in the Harley Davidson history, you know, somebody who knew a little bit about motors.
Just a bit.
A little bit. And that person was Ollie Evinrude.
Who went on to, become notorious, but went on to build a very, very successful type of motor and a more than one very successful motor company.
The first of its kind.
First of its kind. He built the first out. Okay. Now, you know how it is with inventions. Mm-hmm. The way that inventions are created, most often what happens is this. Someone comes up with a good idea. They maybe figure out a way to physically show that idea, but they don't actually make an invention or a product out of it. Someone else may or may not know about that first person, and they make something that's a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then people start communicating. So by the time you get from, you know, someone figuring out that you can get a chemical reaction from gasoline to someone actually driving a car, you have a lot of people involved.
Yeah, sure. A series of patents. Mm-hmm. You have and usually it happens within just a short number of years.
Yes. Once they start connecting the dots. Now, Ollie Evinrude, therefore, with this in mind, invented the first, I guess you would say, practical, commercially successful outboard motor. Now, there's another guy named Waterman. And he invented a motor as well, but it did not do as well.
Okay. And what year are we talking here?
Are you talking about for Ollie?
How about Waterman? Because Waterman, he's the one who actually thought of – yeah, that's right. No, Cameron. Cameron Waterman, right?
Yes.
Okay. He invented it – what? It was like turn of the century, right?
Right around there,
1905.
Yeah, and Evinrude is more 1908, 1909.
Okay, so we're talking about again just a series of just a couple of years before Ollie comes up with his perfected version.
Yes, absolutely. And before we get there, let's go back to this guy because he's actually Norwegian.
Really,
he was born in Norway.
Oh, interesting.
Norwegian American.
Sounds like it, I guess. Ollie.
Yeah, so five – right.
Ollie, I think is Ollie, how they say it. Ollie. Ollie, yeah. Ollie Evinrude, yeah.
So around 1882, he's 5 years old. Oh, he's born in 1877.
1877.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so his family takes a boat across the Atlantic to the United States when he is a wee young tyke, 5 years old. I can't do a Norwegian accent.
That's all right.
So we'll settle for something else, a vaguely European accent. And he reputedly spent almost the whole trip in the ship's engine room just watching motors, man.
He's 5 years old. What are his parents letting him do down in the motor engine or motor room?
They're probably glad he's not raising Cain.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean?
And make sure he doesn't fall overboard, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Jumping off to swim with dolphins.
Yeah.
So his family settles down in Cambridge, Wisconsin. He keeps this fascination with machinery, and he's working on his dad's farm tools all the time. And then when he gets a little older, he's traveling around the United States and he's working as an apprentice. He's working in factories.
He went to like Pittsburgh and Chicago and Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
He went all over the place, right?
He went all over the place. He went on a kind of journey, but he returned home when he was 23. This is around 1900. He turned home. He opens up a little fabrication pattern making store. And
this is in Milwaukee?
This is in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's the thing. This guy is the town eccentric, Scott, because he's got a shop, right? He's got a day job. He's got a Clark Kent status.
Okay.
When he's not working, he's trying to be a full-on Superman of vehicles. He's building his own cars.
Oh, cool.
Horseless carriages, as they were called at the time.
Sure, yeah.
And testing them.
This is pre-Model T.
Yes.
This is the very dawn of the automobile, right?
Yeah. So he's racing this thing around town, road testing it. And, you know, some people are thinking, wow, that's cool. And other people are thinking, who is this crazy man?
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And, one person who did like him, was a lovely young woman named Bess.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, Ollie had a crush on her. Mm-hmm. And, so they are dating. Before you know it,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting engaged, and we're moving toward a happily ever after kind of situation.
Sure.
As far as Mr. Evinrude thinks. So he'll do anything for this girl. One day, it's very hot in Wisconsin. They're on an island in the middle of a body of water, and she says, you know what? I want ice cream.
And, brother. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're on an island on a hot day. Right?
Right, yeah.
So we're to assume that they rowed a boat out there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they rowed a boat out there at this point. It's a hot day, and she says, I want ice cream.
And it's like 90 degrees, dude.
Oh.
Well, now, it's unclear. Now, let's not paint her as some sort of spoiled person. Maybe she – because the dude's in love with her, Scott.
Yeah,
he might have just known she liked ice cream.
Listen,
and asked her if she
I know exactly how this works. She probably would say something like – you know what? Wouldn't ice cream be good right now? And he's like, I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? Please. Eager to please.
Yeah.
So here's what happens. And Scott's absolutely right. Ollie takes her up on it and he hops into his boat, his rowboat, rows 2.5 miles to get the ice cream.
Oh, no.
Gets the ice cream, rows 2.5 miles back. So the ice cream is melting, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then that's when it hits him. And I just have this picture of this guy. Now, Ollie's a big dude. He's a bigger man. So I have the picture of this guy covered in sweat, exhausted, and just going in a sudden moment of just exhaustion-induced clarity going, wait a second. Why don't I have an engine on the boat?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, here's your ice cream.
Here's your ice cream.
That's more what I would have said. But,
well,
that's me.
They did get married.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. They did finally, they did get married. So I guess things worked out. And, but he remembered this thing about the motor. So the next year, he's been working on this motor all year,
mm-hmm.
and he starts testing it. The first, his first outboard motor that he's built.
Mm-hmm.
And, not going to lie to you, man. Specs aren't that great at the beginning.
I have a picture of it.
You have a picture?
I have a picture of it. Or, you know, and you know why I have just a picture of it?
Why?
This is kind of a – well, you know what? Not that I'm going to bring in the real engine or anything, but did you know that this original prototype was destroyed by accident? It was discarded?
Was it?
It was. Someone got rid of – just unintentionally discarded the original Evinrude engine.
Well, and also, to be honest, it didn't look that impressive.
No, it didn't.
Now we can tell people why that comes from the title of our podcast today, right?
Yeah, that's right.
His wife, Bess, was not impressed by this original engine that weighed 62 pounds.
Yeah.
But
because it was iron, right?
It was iron and produced 1.5 horsepower.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like much. She called it a coffee grinder.
Yes, she said, and his friends called it
the knuckle buster.
Yes.
And you probably noticed that in our title, but, mm-hmm. The reason they called it the knuckle buster is because the way you started this thing, it had a wheel on top, Ben, with a crank, like a handle.
Yeah, it's like a flywheel engine.
Yeah. Imagine like, you know, cranking a Model T engine or something, only it's vertical. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wait. No, horizontal. It's horizontal. You spin it around like you would a record almost, right? Like you like a record player almost.
Right, yeah.
And the thing is, you give this thing a couple of quick pops with your hand and eventually it would fire up, but you'd have to make sure your hand's out of the way, otherwise it's going to smack it.
Yeah, please refer to our podcast on starting a model A or a model T?
Model T. Yeah, that's right. Very similar in that you got to get your hand out of the way.
Yeah, so.
That's what his friends called it, the knuckle buster.
And it's probably, they probably said it with bloody knuckles because I'm sure they tried it out. So he's got this motor. He's still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, his wife comes in with some great publicity. Work while he's working on this over the next 2 years, he starts coming up with a better version of this. Mm-hmm. Now, this is like 1908, 1909. So by 1911, he actually has a patent for an engine that is improved in various ways, but it's Bess who's going.
Yeah, she's writing the ads, right?
Yeah, she's like, no, you need to sell this. I've done some math. We need to sell it for this much to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to start advertising. And he's like, what? I like building motors.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just give them away or something. He's like that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't think money mattered as much.
No, not really. But do you know how much they were going to sell that original motor for? She figured?
What?
$42.50.
Now, let's remember, guys, this is like the turn of the century.
Sure. He's building these by hand in his shop one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How much effort that takes to put into building that motor and to make a tiny profit.
He's fabricating the parts.
Tiny profit.
Yeah.
But $42.50 is what Bess thought it should sell for, and Ole thought that was too much. People weren't going to pay that.
Yeah. Yeah,
he thought there's no way.
That's a lot of money.
No. Because this is just an outboard motor for someone to tack onto a rowboat, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. It's strictly about rowboat technology at this point. He's saying, there are inboard motors for ships, of course.
Sure, there are marine motors.
Yeah, exactly. We're not saying this is the first motor on a boat.
Right.
We're saying this is the first easily carried with you motor. I mean, it's a portable motor, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was brand new.
And you could pick it up.
Yeah.
You could put it on a different boat if you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of the idea. Like you could throw any engine onto a bicycle and mm-hmm. make it work. You know, they had kits that you could add to make a bike a moped.
Good comparison.
Same type of thing. This is just for your rowboat.
So he gets together and with a guy named Chris Meyer. And Chris Meyer already has done very well in the tugboat industry.
Ah.
And so.
Tugboat magnet.
Right. Yes. Yes. Tugboat Tycoon mm-hmm. is what I wanted to say. It sounds like a video game. But anyway, so the Everoods are building all these engines, or he's building all these engines. His wife is promoting and advertising, and then they wear themselves out. And Bess pretty much orders
mm-hmm.
Ole to take some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns into him promising not to work for 5 years.
5 years.
Five whole ones.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so they, in order to pull this off, they have to sell their part of the company to Chris Meyer. So they end up actually selling their position in Everoods Motors.
Wow. So Everoods sells Everoods.
Yes. Everoods sells Everoods. And that's going to be important later because then we see that, when he comes back, now this is a very clever man, Scott. Let's not forget that mm-hmm. how clever this fellow is because he told his wife he wouldn't work for 5 years, but somehow when those 5 years are up, he comes back and he's got a new motor.
He's got a brand new idea.
Yeah. Now this thing has twice as much horsepower as mm-hmm. the original. So it's up to three.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Really? Yeah. 3 horsepower.
It weighs less.
Yeah.
And it has a twin cylinder. And
it's made out of aluminum.
Yes, and it's made out of aluminum, which
significant
is very innovative.
Yeah, and from what I hear, this engine is very well machined. I mm-hmm. mean, it's very, very precise, this
yes.
engine, and it's very light. And what was it called? In fact, light is in the title of it, the name of it. They called it the Elto.
Elto.
Elto engine, which stood for hang on a second. It stood for the Everoods Light Twin Outboard. ELTO.
The twin being a reference to the twin cylinders.
Twin cylinders, that's right. But this is a significant step up from the engine that he had produced prior to that point, right?
Yeah, and it's definitely an evolution in several terms. Mm-hmm. It's a much more sophisticated engine. It's arguably more reliable as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Meyer, who, you know, Ollie out of loyalty brings this to Chris Meyer and says, hey, man, look at this thing.
Yeah.
You like that first one, right? Let's start making these. And Chris Meyer goes,
Gonna hang on to the Evinrud name.
Yeah.
Stick with what I'm doing.
I'm gonna keep your last name and your other, your first engine and the stuff we came up with after that.
Yeah.
And so Ollie has to start his own company, which leads to a very weird thing.
Which is called Elto.
Elto, yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if you have Scott Benjamin Motors and you have to leave Scott Benjamin Motors and then someone else owns Scott Benjamin Motors
and they hang on to it
and you're selling this new thing, but against the company that has your name.
So you're competing against Evinrud's competing against his own name.
It reminds me of that
and his own product.
Yes.
Wow.
It reminds me of that time, remember, Creedence Clearwater Revival?
Yes.
When he got sued for plagiarizing himself.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Like
that
Creedence Clearwater Revisited or something like that. Yeah. I forget what the, I don't know, there was some funny thing about that, but.
So he's got his own company and he's competing with his old company, and then other companies are jumping onto the outboard motor idea, especially around the Great Lakes.
Sure. Yeah. And there's, you know, the Mercury, there's Johnson. I don't know about the timing of all these.
Yeah.
I have to get that straight.
But these guys all come into the fray.
This is, this gets really complicated really quickly here with all the mergers and the, acquisitions that are happening between, all these outboard motor companies. And it gets really complicated. Later we'll find out, where it stands today.
Yes.
But period of time here is very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. But you're right. He hangs on to this Elto company, and he's actually competing with Meyer's Evinrud company, which
yes.
is so – this is so odd.
This is still weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Now, we'll go up to the present day. So he's got this stuff, and they're still working on the they're still working on innovations in motoring technology, mm-hmm. right? So he's got his new company and let's go up to the 20s, right?
Sure.
All right. So
the late 20s.
Yeah. The late 20s. So Bess and Ole are the only people who are owning this one this
okay.
time around.
Mm-hmm.
No outside ownership. And he makes the manufacturing equipment and she's the secretary and treasurer and stuff. So they're still playing kind of the same roles they had previously.
Okay.
But they have a little bit of a struggle, of course, because we all know about the late 1920s mm-hmm. and the Depression.
Yeah, but he did have a successful engine
yes.
at that time. He had the quad, which was the 1928 quad. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's something that's carrying them through the end of the 20s, and this is the quad, as the name implies.
Yeah.
Is a four cylinder engine, which was really, twice as much as the other one, or twice as big as the last one, of course, with the twin cylinder. But this is the first one to pass the 40 mile per hour mark on the water, which is really impressive. I mean, this thing was it's a very, very strong motor. And we're talking about 40 miles per hour now versus, you know, these little 1.5 horsepower engines that the company started with.
Mm-hmm.
Power and speed are starting to become the thing that people want now.
Right. And they did. And there's something that people started counting on, which is very funny because – I'm sorry. Let me interrupt myself.
No, that's right.
Scott and I checked out this film about – the Ollie Evinrud story. Did you see parts of it?
I watched it, and you know what? It's four parts, right?
Yeah.
And I thought after the first one, I didn't think I could stand it anymore. And I watched the second part, and it started off with a folk song.
Yes.
And it turns out that this thing was produced in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
If you've listened to the lyrics of these songs, and I had to keep watching because they had some really interesting footage of current Evinrud's up in the 70s.
Right, contemporary.
It was a really interesting story. I mean, the story was kind of strange.
Yeah.
But the songs were really, really different.
The songs, save that life story, man. Let's be honest.
I think so. Yeah, I think they do, but they were odd songs. I mean, it's folk songs about an outboard motor.
Yeah, and it's very neat.
And all the pleasures of watercraft. And it was really interesting to watch. It's on YouTube.
And you can't really predict when the songs come in either.
No, it's kind of crazy. It's a weird story.
But yeah, so it's funny because in that life story, there's this part where he talks about how racing is just not what outboard motors are about.
Yeah, yeah. He's convinced that no one wants the speed and power thing.
Yeah, because it's a more of a family experience. But,
and Bess agreed. She said, "Oh no, women don't want that. Women don't want speed. Women don't want power."
Sorry, Bess. Sorry.
This is all about the family.
Can't be right about everything. Nobody's right all the time, except arguably Scott. And so they hadn't counted though that they would be wrong about this. And so we've mentioned Johnson Motor Company. They come out with a motor that weighs like nearly 100 pounds.
Yeah. And this is another small company that started in the 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Johnson Motor Company started in Indiana, I believe. Three brothers started in the 1920s. And they it was like some – again, this is out of necessity. They just decided to build an engine to get themselves to – I think it was like a walnut gathering spot or something like that up right. The Wabash River. So this is – basically the Johnson Motor Company only existed as the Johnson Motor Company – from 1921 until about 1935, believe it or not, exclusively as Johnson Motor Company. After that, it fell into this big conglomeration that we'll talk about in a moment here. But, the 1930s were a difficult time for any organization to remain afloat here in the United States. In the late 20s, early 30s, mm-hmm. very few made it. And Johnson happened to be one of those that just was struggling because people didn't have money for things like outboard motors, things that they didn't necessarily need. It was more of a luxury at that point.
So, yeah, so we see these mergers occurring in, 1929, we've got a merger, where the Lockwood Motor Company from Jackson, Michigan and, Elto, combined to form the Outboard Motors Corporation.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And
OMC.
And doesn't Briggs and Stratton have something to do with this too? That's in the 1926.
Yeah, Briggs is the chairman.
Yeah, that's right. Briggs. Yeah, this is Briggs and Stratton. And mm-hmm. So this is the beginning of a lot of these companies that make these small engines. But founded by Stephen Briggs and Harry Stratton, the original Evernher Motor Company was sold to Briggs and Stratton in Milwaukee in 1926.
Yes.
And now, trust me, folks, this gets confusing. So we're trying to put together about five different pieces of paper here to make one concise history, and it's difficult. But
yeah,
the funny thing is about the Briggs and Stratton company. They decided that they weren't going to do outboard motors, and now they own Evinrude. Okay, so there's several points here where Evinrude was just about gone. We probably never would have heard his name. It would have been an antique that we'd see in a museum, and that's it.
Yeah, it would have been a, hey, looky there.
And now I bet it's one of those things that if you say Evinrude Motors, I bet a lot of people know that's a boat motor.
Yes.
I would think.
Yeah.
It's commonly known. But they decided that they didn't want to, but one of the chairmen, Briggs, decided that, no, we're going to keep Ollie Evinrude around, and we're going to keep, Elto Motors around, and we're going to continue to produce these motors.
Smart choice, too.
Exactly, yeah. And that's part of this Outboard Motors Corporation that you mentioned, which is OMC.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we're caught up now.
We're caught up, yes. I'm sorry. I was jumping around with some stuff.
And that's all right.
It's true, because it's almost – you get this picture of people just juggling company names.
Yeah.
But these mergers, again, because of the time in history, these mergers took place out of necessity.
Yeah, that's right. And if you want, I got a couple more here.
Lay it on me.
All right. So in 34 – oh, you know what? 34 is a significant year for a couple of reasons. So actually, 33 is a significant year too.
Yeah,
that's the year that Bess passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, her illness. She was ill. We mentioned earlier in 1914 she was ill, and I think that was just an exhaustion thing. I don't know exactly what happened in 33, but Bess passed away, and as you can imagine, Ollie was devastated by the whole thing, right?
Sure.
It's just a year later when he passed away in 1934. So Evinrude was out of the picture at that point. Now, they had a son, Ralph, and Ralph inherited the presidency of Evinrude, right?
OMC.
Of OMC.
He takes the reins there.
I'm confused again. And about that same time, this is something that I had no idea.
Yeah.
They start producing lawn tractors.
Yeah.
because, yeah. you know, small motors, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Lawn tractors.
And they also buy Johnson Motors.
Yeah. And you know who the lawn tractor name was?
What was the lawn tractor name?
Lawn Boy. You've heard of Lawn Boy, you know, garden tractors or push mowers.
Yeah.
Lawn Boy is still around. You can still buy a Lawn Boy push mower, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
That is originally an Evinrude company. It was founded by the Evinrudes.
And also, I'm really glad that you bring up the fact that they make the Lawn Boy, they made Lawn Boy mowers as well, because although we do talk about the invention of a reliable, practical outboard motor that takes off and is very successful, it's easy to forget that that's not the only thing Evinrude himself did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we also have like the we've talked about the big four, the quad. He also made the first electric starter for an outboard motor.
Oh, yeah. He had a ton of industry first, didn't he?
It's crazy.
It makes sense, I guess, when you think that, you know, he's the original, really the first, and I want to say first inventor of it, but he's not, but the first one to make a practical outboard motor. So that kind of goes along with that you'd have a lot of industry firsts.
Right. It's like everything you do that works is an industry first.
You know, one of the other industry firsts he had?
What's that?
The exhaust that was outputted through the propeller hub. Up until that point, the exhaust was exhausted on top of the water out by the driver or the person handling the motor. And they ran it down through the prop, out through the hub, and that actually increased the speed of the motor as well. So now the exhaust is down below the water.
Yeah.
That's just one example. And then they had, other things like, you know, gear shifts and,
folding shafts.
Exactly. Folding shafts. You could fold up your outboard motor and take it with you. Mm-hmm. Just a ton of industry first. If you look through the history, you'll find that he had a lot of, there's a lot of firsts there.
And also, or I guess not him, but after his death, the company continued. Both the Evinrude Motor Company that he no longer owned.
Yeah, through Ralph.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's OMC.
Oh,
darn. OMC through Ralph. Yeah, we're having a time with this.
Sure.
But the OMC expands. It's working, to provide motors during World War II. Mm-hmm. So they're getting – when you're a manufacturing company and you get business from the military, you're doing pretty well usually.
Yeah, and you remember a lot of course, automobile production stopped.
Yep.
It makes sense that, you know, something like, you know, somebody who's making outboard marine engines would stop as well. And or at least for consumer production, they're going to make military products. They're going to build motors for the boats that are storming the beaches, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did.
And today you can still go visit the Evinrude. Like, they have a website. You can check out the Evinrude company. Mm-hmm. OMC, I believe, was acquired.
Ah, yes. Here we go. Okay. Still shuffling papers here. But in 2001, this goes all the way up to 2001. Now, remember, you've got all these other companies we talked about, you know, Elto and Evinrude and Johnson Motors. They're all under one umbrella now, OMC. Well, in March of 2001 – OMC was just about ready to go under.
Yep.
And they were purchased by a Canadian company. And I'm going to give a shot at this. It's BRP, which is Bombardier.
Ah.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Bombardier? I think that's it. Bombardier Recreational Products. It's BRP. I'll just call it BRP.
All right.
It's a Canadian company. And they, you know, the reason that name may be familiar to you now there's still – you can still search for JohnsonMotors.com. You can search for EvinrudeMotors.com. Yep. You can search for – I don't know about Elto. I don't think that's around anymore. But those companies still exist under BRP. Mm-hmm. And now remember, OMC was purchased by Bombardier. And one thing that we've mentioned this company before recently, Ben, BRP. They make that three-wheel trike, the Roadster.
Yeah.
That, it looks like a motorcycle. You've seen a lot of them on the streets now. Mm-hmm. Two wheels out front, one in the back. Mm-hmm. Seen Tadpole a lot of them around town. Yeah, exactly. But they also manufacture, Sea-Doo watercraft, Lear jets. They make locomotives and, you know, just other recreational vehicles of all kinds. So, this Canadian company is really big. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that, you know, just, it's incredible how this name has hung on as long as it has.
Yes.
From 1907 or was it 9? 1909, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Evinrude site, there's a 100th anniversary video that you can watch. Not the one that we talked about before, but a different one. There's a timeline that you can go through year by year, decade by decade, you know, to see what's going on with Oli and mm-hmm. the company and how it really has. It's a remarkable story how it's hung on from that far ago, that long ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through all these acquisitions and mergers and everything, I just can't believe that Evinrude name has been able to hang on this long. You think one of these bigger companies would have just absorbed it and said, no, we're taking your product and we're going to call it this.
Yeah, we're going to call it the SpectroSwim.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You would think, because there's so many manufacturers now. I mean, outboard motor manufacturers, I mean, there's a lot of competition, overseas competition for these as well. There's Alpha and Gull and Honda and Nissan, Suzuki, yeah. Yamaha. They all make outboard motors.
Sure.
And then, of course, we talked about Evinrude, Johnson, Mercury. You know, these have all fallen under the umbrella of other bigger companies now. But I don't know. Interesting history for outboard motors. I had no idea there was this much to it.
And I also had no idea, I guess, what a formative role Oli Evinrude plays in the history of motoring, really.
Yeah, and Evinrude to play into the Johnson history. I thought that was completely separate, and mm-hmm. you know, all the way through history, I had no idea that they had combined at some point. I didn't know that, you know, that he actually was the first patent holder for this what do you call it?
A marine
propulsion system. And how many industry firsts were come about by that? And I mean, just an incredible guy. And I mean, to be the founder of Lawn Boy and all the other things that come with, you know, just being there throughout the history of this company. It's incredible.
Also, thanks for the Harley Davidsons there.
Yeah.
Oli.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we hope that we've given you a look at one of the less famous formative figures of motor history.
Oh, I think so. I mean, hopefully now people know about him and will spread the word, because he plays a big, big role in some major advancements.
And what I would like to hear, I don't know what you want to hear more about, Scott, but from our listeners, I would like to hear some more information about boats that you own or your experience boating. And you can let us know at Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on our or you can read more on our website, howstuffworks.com. And if you have a suggestion for a topic or you want to add something to the discussion about Mr. Evinrude, please send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.